Welcome to the Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church.
Well, welcome to Keys of the Kingdom. I'm Brother Gregory, and we're talking about the Kingdom of God and the daily ministration in the Kingdom of God. We read in Acts 6:1, "And in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews, because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration." What are they talking about? What is that all about? Now, they start a chapter in Acts with this statement. Now, you got to remember also, the chapters don't necessarily exist in the original authorship. It's something they've added in. These divisions, divide and conquer, so they have to divide things up. And that's okay. We should be able to get past that if we are actually doing what Christ said and attending to the weightier matters of law, which means attending to loving God with our whole heart, mind, and soul. No schizophrenia allowed. Now, if you're schizophrenic, you can be cured. I'm not picking on schizophrenics, because there's a lot of them out there. There's a lot of signs of schizophrenia out there. And you don't even have to call it schizophrenia, just divided mind. Schizo. Got it? Divided mind. There's a lot of divided minds out there who probably wouldn't be diagnosed as schizophrenic. But your mind doesn't have to be divided. It can be whole again. But it's divided because you did not face the truth. You've been running from the garden from the beginning. You've been hiding from the truth from the beginning. Adam and Eve did that. They divided themselves from the Holy Spirit of God that they once walked with in the garden. They divided. God had breathed the life of the Holy Spirit into them. The same as Jesus comes out of the tomb, he comes into his apostles and he breathes on them and says, "Receive the Holy Spirit." This whole story of breathing on them is a metaphor. And we would see that even the at Pentecost, the Spirit would descend upon them like a tongue of fire. The baptism of fire. That's when the Holy Spirit actually can enter into your temple as a tongue of fire. Can that happen with you? Not if you're a divided mind. You have to make room. You have to go into your temple. You have to clean it out. You have to see the trauma. You have to confess your iniquities. That's what it says. Go down and get baptized. Confess your iniquities. We talk about the Christians at the time of Constantine. You know, all of Milan becomes Christian. They all went and got baptized. Didn't say they went and repented and got baptized. Just said they got baptized. Those Christians are just all wet. They're not baptized. They're not going to get baptized in the Holy Spirit, and certainly not by fire. They're just all wet. And most Christians are just all wet. The all wet Christians. And they have their apostate churches that are there to make them feel good about not doing good. And, of course, they need welfare, and they need a Corbin. They need somebody sacrificing for their welfare. And so they go to the hierarchy of government, the archae of government, the ones who exercise authority of government. And they say, "Give us our welfare, give us our health care, give us our unemployment, give us our benefits, our reward for selling ourselves and our children to you. And bowing down and serving you, we want our reward." The Christians are over here in private religion, depending on faith, hope, and charity and the perfect law of liberty. You're not ready to go over there, most of you, but you can start. The longest journey starts with the first step. That means gather together, join our network, and start coming together in the name of Christ to help one another, to bless one another, to be there for one another, to strengthen one another. Because if you're not doing that, you're not coming in the name of Jesus. You're not coming in the name of Yeshua. You're not coming in the name of Christ. You're not coming in the name of the Messiah. I don't care if you're a Messianic Jew or, you know, a Jehovah Witness or Lutheran or a Protestant. If you don't come together for the purpose to serve, then you're not coming in the name of Christ, because you're not coming for the reason Christ came. He came to serve. You see? And so in Acts 6, it says, in those days, some people were not getting served. They were not getting taken care of. Some of the widows and orphans and needy of their society was being neglected. And the Grecians, the Greeks, were the ones who were bringing this matter up to the Hebrews. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples. Disciples means students. Those learning the ways of the kingdom. You don't know the ways of the kingdom if your church is not the social welfare of your community. It does not know the ways of the kingdom. They are not disciples of Christ. If they're not trying to learn, they're not disciples of Christ. They're disciples of some fictional character that somebody invented. Because they're not coming in the name of Christ. They're coming, you know, they just accept Christ into your heart as your personal Savior. There's a minister, I just read something by him. There was a minister, name of David Platt. And it says he's deeply devoted to Christ and his word. David's first love in ministry is disciple making. Simple biblical model of teaching God's word, mentoring others, and sharing faith. He has traveled extensively to teach the Bible and church leaders throughout the United States and around the world. David holds a deep and abiding passion for global disciple making. Now, I don't even know this guy. He says, I believe that God has uniquely created everyone of his people to impact the world. Some may count it idealistic, but I believe it is thoroughly biblical, rooted in Psalm 67, 1 and 2, yet covering scripture from the beginning to the end. Now, all that sounds great, but I haven't heard this guy, but I did read one thing that he wrote, and he's saying that he wrote something, or actually, I guess he wrote something and actually did some audios, and I don't recommend him because I haven't heard him yet, because I got to pay money to hear him, so that brings him into question right away. He says, why accepting Jesus in your heart is superstitious and unbiblical. He says, making discipleship is the supernatural overflow of being a disciple, a student of Christ. Really wanting to know what Christ said and why he said what he said and doing what he's doing. That's what you're trying to do. Proclaiming the love of Christ is the overflow of sharing in the life of Christ. What was Christ's life all about? Sharing, sacrificing. Are you doing that? Then you're not sharing in the life of Christ, if you're not. And I'm convinced, he says, many people in our churches are simply missing the life of Christ. And a lot of it has to do with what we've sold them as the gospel. Pray this prayer, they say, accepting Jesus into your heart. Invite Christ into your life. Should it not concern us that there is no such superstitious prayer in the New Testament? Should it not concern us that the Bible never uses the phrase, accept Jesus into your heart? Good point. Now, I don't know where he's going with that, but anyway, I thought I'd share that with you. Because how do we know who has really accepted Jesus Christ into their heart? Because they say it? I say confess, but you know, it also says that when you go down and get baptized, confess your sins. Now, baptism as an adult thing was a confession, also included the confessing of your iniquity. It said, be baptized and confess their iniquities. You see, and why? Because without that confession, you will have a divided mind. There will be parts of your own personal sinful trauma that you will not want to look at, and you will not get better. You will not improve as an individual. You will not grow as an individual in what? The mind of Christ. Because there's no room. Because you got this schizo personality in there where you're not really admitting that I'm a sinner. I'm selfish. I'm a liar. I'm a deceiver. I'm covetous. I abuse people. I use people. You know, if you use somebody, if you steal their time away from them, you're a thief. If you deceive somebody, you say, yeah, I might be interested in buying this. And you're not really. You just want to keep the guy hanging around because you don't want to be alone or whatever. You're a thief. Because you stole his time. You have no intention of buying what he was offering. And you wasted his time. Yeah, show me this because you don't want him to leave. You're a thief. You know, if you're planting GMO seeds, you're a murderer. Because people will die. GMO seeds are poisoning the environment. You're a murderer. You don't have to actually go out and stab somebody to be a murderer. You know, if you knowingly create a hazardous situation, you know, in the Bible it says that if you have a bull that pushes, you got to kill him. You can't keep him. Now, we had a bull, never attacked anybody, but he pushed on things. He was a bull that pushes. He's in the freezer. We actually, I mean, he was tearing apart the barn in order to get out. He was pushing on everything, bending the gates, everything. So he's in the freezer. Because the Bible says you can't have that. Well, that's a metaphor. Now, in our case, it actually was a real bull, okay? But it's a metaphor. If you create hazardous situations that bring other people into danger and they get hurt, you're a murderer. If they get killed, you're a murderer. If you knowingly do this, you know, that's the whole balcony thing. You had to put a rail around your balcony because you're creating a hazardous situation when you bring people up on your balcony and there's no rail there, or no substantial rail there to protect them. These are principles. Well, if you have a divided mind, you cannot have the mind of Christ. And all the guys are going back to steep themselves in mindless rituals or superstitious. You know, the Romans had two words for religion. Threskia, which actually is a religiare. Threskia is the Greek word. Religiare, which means things bound. People say, see, that religion is about binding you up. No, you don't get it. Things bound. Your offering. You consecrate your offering when you give it up entirely to Christ. And you pick the minister you think is actually doing the work of Christ, and you need to donate to that minister. If he's actually working to spread the true gospel of Christ, you should be donating to that minister and supporting his work. And if he's really a minister of Christ, if you give him more than he needs, he will donate it to other ministers so that they can do the work of Christ. And if you don't see him doing that, then you start questioning, is he really doing the work of Christ? Is he taking what God is giving him by way of you and giving it to others to build a network of people who care as much about others as they do themselves? Or is he just out there saying, we got to do this feast and we got to say these words and we got to wear this prayer cloth and we got to, you know, whatever it is your church is telling you to do that has nothing to do with the daily ministration, it's probably a crock. It's probably the other word for religion in the Roman language, which is superstitio. Religion is binding things for the purposes of fulfilling your duty to God and your fellow man. And God don't need your money, but your fellow man might. So if you want to contribute to ministers who are actually tending to the daily ministration, do so. If you want to give money to men who are rightly dividing the word of truth and will appoint men over this business of waiting on tables and providing for the needs of society through faith, hope, and charity in the perfect law of liberty, then you should do so. You should give to that minister, that true ambassador of Christ. But if you think an ambassador of Christ is somebody who just separates himself from the system and doesn't even take care of his children, much less his own neighbors, then you're under a strong delusion. Christ was practical. God is practical. The kingdom of God is practical. And it was appointed to men and taken away from men because some men did not bear fruit. They did not go the way of Christ. They went another way. So as we were reading in Acts 6:1, in those days, well, it's also in these days, that the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them. We think that's everybody in the congregation. That's what we think. No. Disciples were students. Students of what? What were they studying? To be ministers of the congregation. Because the church was ministers. He didn't appoint the kingdom to everybody. He appointed it to ministers who were studying to be ministers. And if you want to be one of his disciples, you have to give up everything that you have. Now, you don't have to do this right away. And I'm not, don't get in a panic. I don't want your credit card number. But in order to be these ordained ministers who are the gatekeepers of the kingdom, the ones who are to maintain an entrance, you do have to separate. You have to be consecrated yourself, just like the Levites before. That's what the early church was doing. Now, there were other ministers amongst them that were not completely separate, but everybody in the congregation is a minister to everybody else, because everybody in the congregation has the responsibility to care about his neighbor as much as he cares about himself. He has to come to serve too. Now, the ordained minister, he consecrates his life to this mission. That's a big choice. It may take some time. He may have to practice as a minister for a while, and we have a way to do that, to see how far he wants to take this. And maybe he never wants to take it all the way up to being an ordained minister. And people start getting panicked. He said ordained minister. It sounds like a hierarchy. No, no archy. Joint heirs, yes, but no archy. Servants of Christ by serving the people, by feeding the sheep. Jesus 3 times talks to Peter. Feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. He keeps telling them this. What is he talking about? Oh, he just means talk to them. No, he means feed my sheep. Care for them. Provide for them when they have need. Well, how does Peter do that? He does that through the daily ministration. He's not supposed to be running the bank. I didn't tell you this. In a credit union, those 7 guys you pick, just like Peter's picking 7 guys. In a credit union, your board of directors, the guys who are the guys who really organize the whole thing to begin with, and they don't charge usury. They'll charge something for their services, but that's just to pay the light bills and the bookkeepers and all that stuff. None of that money can go to the board of directors. They cannot receive a salary in a credit union. Whoa. We call it a credit union today, but it could be a part of the daily ministration. Doesn't take much to start it. It takes some faithful people who want to tend to the daily ministration. And the 12 called the multitude of disciples unto them and said, It's not reason that we should leave the Word of God, the Logos of God, and serve tables. Tables, the word for bank. We said that in the last show. Same word for bank. And like I said in the last show, Stephen was one of the first martyrs. Why? Because he was serving pancakes down at the local food shelter? You think they're talking about, you know, a food bank? Well, and to some degree they were, but they were actually talking about there were famines in the land at this time, and they gathered up funds and sent Barnabas and Paul to go and distribute these funds to help Christians in areas that were devastated by a dearth, an economic collapse, shortage of food. They were the FEMA of their society, but they were the Faith Emergency Ministry Auxiliary. They were not, you know, a system that exercised authority. They were health, education, and welfare through charity, through hope, through faith. Now, I explained this to somebody on the group, like I said, who thinks he's an ambassador to the kingdom of God, and he's far from it. And I used the word health, education, and welfare because we use that on our website. And they were live links, so you could click on the word health, education, and welfare. And he sends back a cut and paste from Wikipedia, believe it or not, where he's talking about the health department of the United States federal government. He says, oh, this is... What's the difference between our health, education, and welfare with the church and the health, education, and welfare of the governments of the world? They use forced offerings. We use free will offerings. If you use free will offerings to provide your social welfare, you might be free someday. If you don't, you will be in bondage. You see, religion is where you bind the thing and not the man. In the world, they bind the man. You have to give. You have to contribute, or you'll be fined. But in the church, you have to contribute because it's a matter of heart. It's between you and Christ. We don't exercise authority. We are not arche rulers of you. We want Christ to rule your heart. We have become servants to teach you the way of Christ, which is the way of service one to another. So he said it wasn't right that they run the bank. So they appointed men to run the bank, to take care of the funds, to tend to the daily ministration. It wasn't called a bank as we call bank. See, today, in many countries, you cannot call a credit union a bank. You can call it all kinds of other things, you know, a friends association or whatever. But you can't call it a bank. You're not allowed to by statute. Why? Because it's not for profit. If they accidentally make profit, they have to give the money back in a charitable fashion to the people who are members of the credit union. And they were setting up these kinds of institutions with the Spirit of Christ in them in the Old Testament. And we see it right away in Acts 6 to help take care of the daily ministration. Now, was this a central deal? No. The local congregations, the local ministers, when they received funds, they decided how to distribute those funds. Each of them, each of those local ministers was a stone of a living altar. We can't hew them. We can't regulate them and make them, oh, no, you've got to give this here and you've got to give that there. No, you have to choose how you want to distribute those. Rightly divide the bread from house to house. I can't do that in Michigan. I can't do that in Florida. I don't know these people on the ground. But the minister on the ground there, he might know who has the real need and who's a lazy bum. He can investigate. He's there. He should have control of the funds that come into him. And if he finds a shortfall, he talks to his fellow ministers because he's also in this network of networking. We had people needed help in Louisiana. We found help for them. We had people needed help in Missouri. We found help for them through the network. We had somebody who was broke down in Southern California. We found help from them, for them. We've got a mobile mission that's going around and can start showing you how this works. Explain these things to your own groups. We're not asking you to, you don't join us. You start following the way of Christ. You already have a group. We'll come there and we'll show you what we've discovered. And it's a lot. And we will help you. That's discipleship. Teaching your ministers how the kingdom works. How Christ was setting men free. Do you know how to be set free? This is how you do it. We showed you how you can open up your roads when government's trying to close down roads. Showed you that in the last show. What are we going to show you in the next half hour? Well, you have to stay tuned and find out what we're going to show you. Be right back.
Things seem to be going wrong in the world today. Every aspect of our lives seems to be under attack sometimes. Many struggle to make sense out of it. What is really going on? Identifying the problem is critical to any solution. Many people claim to have answers. But what is the truth? What works? What has worked in the past? History does repeat itself, and you must learn from it. You have choices. We cannot change the course of history, but we may change our role in it. All roads lead to Rome. All roads lead to the kingdom of God. The question is, which way are you going? Join us to make sense out of it all for an iconoclastic look at the world yesterday, today, and tomorrow, and hear about the keys of the kingdom.
My name is Mark and I'm from Melbourne in Australia, and I'm a minister in the church established by Jesus Christ more than 2,000 years ago. After reading the books published at hishollychurch.org, I realised that mainstream Christianity had taken a wrong turn by forgetting what Jesus said to do, to practice pure religion while remaining unspotted from the world. What does this mean and how is this done exactly? You'll find out when you go to hishollychurch.org and discover what it truly means to love God and your neighbour as much as yourself. Join the Living Network at hishollychurch.org.
Have you ever looked at the things happening in the world today and felt that something just wasn't right, but couldn't put your finger on it? Have you ever heard the phrase, "God bless America," and wondered to yourself, does he really? Or have you ever looked at the government's policies on things such as abortion or same-sex marriage and asked yourself, how could they? Or where are all the Christians voicing their outrage? These are hard questions that many people today ask themselves. But along with those hard questions come some very hard answers. Answers that you may never heard before, but nonetheless will answer these and other questions you may have. So if you're looking for answers, join us at hisholychurch.org. It's not what you might think, and it will open the heart and mind to a whole other world that you never even knew existed. It did for me and many others. I know it will for you as well. So join us as we seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness at hisholychurch.org.
The Creator is the God of the living, not the God of the dead. His kingdom was, is, and will be forever on earth as it is in heaven. Start by connecting and finding other kingdom-seeking families on the His Holy Church Living Network. Visit www.hisholychurch.org to start your journey back to your unalienable birthright.
I'm Brother Justice, and I'm a minister of His Holy Church of Sacramento, California. His Holy Church is a powerful weapon in the hands of God. The books, The Covenants of the Gods, and Thy Kingdom Come has changed the course of my life forever. For those of you who are truly looking for the way, I encourage you to look to His Holy Church at www.hisholychurch.org. May the good Lord bless you and keep you.
Hi, I'm Brent. I'm a contact minister for the Living Network in Northeast Missouri. You're not the only one out there with the desire to learn the truth. There are people all over the world coming together in faith, hope, and charity. Join us at one of the upcoming gatherings to meet new people, fellowship, work, and play. Whether it's the Fall Burning Bush Festival in Oregon or the Spring Gathering in Northeast Missouri, you'll get all the details when you join the Living Network. Go to hisholychurch.org and click on the network link. Find out what you've been missing. You'll be glad you did.
So welcome back to Keys of the Kingdom. We're talking about Christ and how he came to set men free and how the early church was doing that. You see that if you were going to be opting out of their social welfare system, you need to have a place to go to. You needed a more righteous system in place, one based not on force like John the Baptist was doing. He was creating one not based on force like all the other governments. If you go to our webpage, the Daily Ministration at preparingyou.com, what are we preparing you for? Discipleship. We're preparing you for surviving liberty under God. Because most of you are ill-prepared for liberty under God. You've been so long, domesticated flocks, you know, for almost 100 years now, people have depended upon shepherds who exercise authority, brutes, as they call them in the Old Testament. And now to depend upon shepherds who don't exercise authority, to depend upon the love of Christ to provide for your needs is something you haven't done. It's like coming out of the matrix. And you wonder why your arms and legs don't work, because you've never used them. You've never used your kingdom legs. You never used your kingdom arms. You're not living by faith, hope, and charity. You're not casting your bread upon the waters. You're not sacrificing for one another. You don't come together to serve. You join a church because it makes you feel good. It makes you feel righteous. It doesn't have anything about being good or being righteous. You're not seeking righteousness. You're seeking a feeling. Got to stop that. Got to gather for a purpose. The feasts had a purpose. The calendars have a purpose. You know, there's a lot of people who want me to write about the calendar issue. It's not complicated. You know, I mean, Babylon used a lunar calendar. But in truth, Babylon also used a solar calendar. At the time of Christ, the Essenes were using a solar calendar. But they also used a lunar calendar. Feast days were figured by lunar calendars because you wanted the feast at a full moon. Because you had to travel for certain feasts that were dependent upon travel. And you needed that full moon to help light your way at night. Simple. It's practical. And also, no matter where you were, if you got mixed up on counting of days in your village, you still knew, hey, I can count. No, that feast will be, you know, you might show up a day later, day early, because you miscalculated by a day. But you could figure about when the center of that feast would be. But you want to plant crops, you got to use a solar calendar. And if you want to navigate, you had to use a sidereal calendar. Stars. You needed the stars to navigate with. Do you know how to do that? Navigate with the stars. I'm not talking about movie stars. I'm talking about the stars up there in the sky. So there's a reason. Well, practical. Now people use their GPS, but we're trying to get people to use their inner guide, the Holy Spirit. And that won't come as long as you have a divided mind. That won't come as long as you don't come together in the name of Christ, which was the name of serving one another. That's why you have to gather. Not to feel good. To do good. Because that's what Christ came to do, is do good. You can't do enough. You're not going to be saved by doing good. But if you're not doing good, you're probably not saved. Because you haven't really repented. You probably haven't confessed your iniquities. If you can't admit that depending and praying to and applying to men who call themselves benefactors but exercise authority one over the other is contrary to the ways of Christ, then you haven't admitted your iniquity. And you're getting distracted by all these other rituals and not getting the Spirit. You're having trouble dividing the metaphor from the purpose. There's a purpose. And without the purpose, there will be no fruit. And that's what the Pharisees, they were not bearing fruit because they were focusing on the metaphor rather than the meaning. They were unmooring the metaphor from the meaning and going through rituals, but actually, instead of daily ministration, they were laying heavy burdens upon the people. They themselves weren't paying the tax, but everybody else had to pay the tax to support the daily ministration. But John the Baptist was saying, no, no, we're not going to do it by force. The one place you see that, they translate it two different ways. And we talk about it on this daily ministration page. Right now it's footnote number 4, Matthew 11, 12, and Luke 16, 16. The law of prophets were until John. Since that time, the kingdom of God is preached, and every man presseth into it. They use a particular word, biazo. They only use that word one other place, and that's in Matthew 11, 12. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence. Matthew 1:12 is the other place we notice that word, and it says, it talks about the kingdom of heaven. Now, Matthew is the only place that you'll find the phrase kingdom of heaven. You won't find that in any of the other gospels, and it has to do with the fact that Matthew was originally written in another language. But rather than get distracted by that, basically, why is this one word, biazo, which means to use force, to apply force, to inflict force. Why is it only in these two verses that has to do with John the Baptist and what the world is doing? The world was using force to provide the welfare of their governments, their kingdoms, whatever you want to call them. But John the Baptist said, no, if you have two coats, share. And your neighbor has none, share. Do the same in meats. He's just preaching charity. Which when Jesus says charity, they translate it love. You see, this is, if you don't do that, if you don't operate by that charitable, selfless giving way to take care of the needy of your society, you will be merchandise. You will be a surety for debt. And benefactors who exercise authority will rule over you. This, for the same reason water runs downhill. It's just built in. So anyway, Peter says, it's not right that we leave the word of God. Because see, they're teaching all these multitude of disciples how the kingdom of God works. That's what they're teaching people, how the kingdom of God works. And they can't, this is a full-time job. Because you guys have been going to brute pastors who, when you actually need something, they send you to men who exercise authority and you sell your sons into bondage. Go read Samuel 8, 1 Samuel 8. Wherefore, Peter says, brethren, look ye out amongst you 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, and we may appoint over this business. What business? The daily ministration, which is the business of the church, which is the business of religion. Because, see, they were cast out of the public religion of Herod. And if you were a Greek, you were cast out of the public religion of Corinth or Galatia or Ephesus. And this is why Peter was accused of robbing the temple of Ephesus of its members, because men were going over and joining the system of Christ. that operated by Faith, Hope, and Charity. Their health, education, and welfare was run by the church, not by men who exercised authority, but men who exercised service. And the people who were in congregation were doing the same. They were coming together to serve one another in love, in faith, in hope that somebody will be there for them. If you were doing that, you could resolve all these other issues like the road closures and GMOs and all these things. You could solve all those problems if you would just come together with the character of Christ, the Spirit of Christ. If you just come together with guys who want to be free, you're not getting anywhere. You got to come together with men who want their neighbors to be free as much as they want to be free. If you can't come together with those men, then there is no hope. But I believe that there is hope. I believe there are men out there to do it, and we're sending men out on the road to find those men. We're broadcasting on radio stations in Omaha and Kansas and Las Vegas to find those men. Our mobile mission right now is in California. And he's down in Los Angeles area, Riverside. Want to meet with him? You got a congregation wants to meet with him and find out what you've been missing. Find out some of the campfire talk that I'm not going to talk about on the radio. Join the Living Network. Go to thelivingnetwork.org. Go to preparingyou.com. Go to His Holy Church. Find the network links and join the network in your area. When he gets to Las Vegas, he'll meet with you there. When he gets down to other states along the south, he'll meet you there. Texas, we have ministers in these places. You're in Australia, we got ministers there. Form those congregations of record. Start practicing networking. Start practicing being minutemen for Christ. Being there in a minute for the love of neighbor. God don't need your money, but your neighbors might, and you might need your neighbor's money. How are you going to get it? You're going to go to men who exercise authority, then you will go under authority. If you go to men who exercise the character of Christ and come together and serve, then you might remain free. Everybody needs help eventually. You know, people, you know, over the years, people wonder, well, how do you do business? Well, I just do work for people, and if they want to help me, they can help me out. They can pay me or not. I don't depend on courts to force anybody to pay me. If I do work for them, they just have to choose to give or not. Well, they say, well, how? But people won't pay you. Well, actually, they usually do. And the joke is everybody's toilet eventually backs up. In other words, everybody's plumbing eventually needs help. I mean, it may come down to changing your colostomy bag, but I'll be there if you're there for us. But if you're there, just there for yourself, I may say, why don't you just go to the men who call themselves benefactors and exercise authority and sell yourself to them and your children to them and your children's children to them. They're not going to bear fruit. They're not going to be there for you when it really gets rough. Because, see, they aren't men of service. They are men of power and authority. But that, if you want to follow them, go right ahead and follow them. If you want to go the ways of Christ, then you have to do business in another way. You have to do a business of charity and of love. And so that's what he was doing. He's going to appoint men of good report. Men full of the Holy Ghost. Men who were not schizophrenics. Didn't have divided minds. They came to serve. And he says, but we will give ourselves continually to prayer. What kind of prayer? Prayer application. To the ministry of the word. In other words, all these new guys coming in, these new disciples wanting to learn the secrets and mysteries of the kingdom of God, which most pastors do not know. We need to be teaching them how to open up the hearts of people, how to go into the dark places so that the minds of your congregation are not schizophrenic, not divided. Yeah, a schizophrenic person cannot change, but he can be changed. In order to be changed, what do these guys do who are treating schizophrenia? Who were schizophrenic themselves? Are they taking drugs? No. What are they doing? How are they curing what everybody says was incurable? How are they doing this? You have to take a journey into the dark side. You have to look at your own divided mind. You know, like Luke Skywalker, you have to become Jedi for Christ. You have to face the evil in your own heart. And there's plenty of it. And he goes on to say, and they saying, and the sayings of Peter, what Peter was saying, pleased the whole multitude. And they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost, and Philip and Prochorus and Nicanor and Timon and Parmenas and Nicholas, the proselyte from Antioch, which has nothing to do with Nicolaitans. And he goes on to say, so here's your seven men. Just like they said in the Old Testament, because of what calamity may come, pick seven men, even eight. Just like you do today if you create a credit union. Now, I'm not saying all credit unions are of the kingdom of God, but a credit union that had the board of directors, men full of the Holy Ghost and of good report, who understand the kingdom, could help people learn how the kingdom works and help get you out of baking, which is one step towards the kingdom. But every step must be a righteous step of service one to another. He goes on to say, whom they set before the apostles. The people picked these people, set them before the apostles. And when they had prayed, they laid hands on them, and the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples. How did the word of God increase? Because they laid hands on them? No, because they were now efficiently providing the daily ministration through faith, hope, and charity. It still required faith, still required hope, and it still required charity. But now they were a little bit more organized. You know why Roman emperors were persecuting Christians in the early days? Most of it was because they were afraid of Christians. Why were they afraid of Christians? Because of the union and discipline of Christians. The discipline didn't come from the top. It came from the hearts of every man, because the kingdom of heaven is within you. It's within your heart. You have to organize yourselves. I can't organize you. You have to learn to stay together. Somebody asked the other day in Colorado, you know, why do we have to network? Somebody was trying to explain that we need to network. And then, well, why do we need to do that? I don't need to do that. I can just do this. Blah, blah, blah. You know, we've had sheep eaten in the fields of late. Coyotes, a pack of five or six coyotes come in. They'll rip a leg off a sheep in minutes. Just tear the whole leg off and take it off. The sheep's still there alive. They're carrying the leg away. How do they do that? Powerful. Some guys have seen them and think they're actually being crossed with wolves. There's wolves in Oregon. Maybe there are, but I think they're just big coyotes. They're cunning, too. They're clever. We can't leave the sheep out without somebody being with them, because the wolves are about. But the sheep are staying together better. So, why do you network? Because there's wolves in them there hills. You need to stay together. You need to start caring for one another. It will change you. And maybe you won't have a divided mind. And the power of the Holy Spirit will begin to flow through your temple out to other people. Sacrifice your pride. Become humble servants one to another. Network together, because you care about your neighbor as much as you care about yourself. So these men were set before the apostles, and the apostles laid hands on them, and they began to do a job. And who gets persecuted? It says, and the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly. And a great company. This is even besides Pentecost. You know, we had thousands one day, thousands the next day. Now, again, greatly increasing. And a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. What priests? The priests that already existed. They started coming over. This is what we need to do. So that churches where there are pastors in them that aren't far from the kingdom, they too repent and say, my congregations needs to do this. My congregations need to start walking in the ways of Christ. Christianity, where we started in this series, Christianity wasn't an idea. It was a way. It required that you do something. You weren't saved because you do something. You did something because you were saved, because Christ's Spirit came in. It cannot come into a divided heart. You have to start being diligent in the way, so that you grow in the way, grow in the Holy Spirit. And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles amongst the people. Wait a minute. I thought he was just waiting on tables. No. When you start doing this, the Spirit starts coming in you and you start seeing things differently. You start doing things differently. An energy comes in. A virtue comes in because you're doing things in a virtuous way. Then there arose certain of the synagogue, which called the synagogue of the Libertines and the Cyrenians and the Alexandrians and of them of Cilicia and of Asia, disputing with Stephen. And they were not able to resist the wisdom and the Spirit by which he spake. But they persecuted him. Why? Follow the money. Why did they crucify Christ? Because he fired the money changers. Who were the money changers? The porters of the temple. You don't know these things unless you've... Read our books. They're free. We give them away free. You know, online, you can just download them. You don't have to check in with us. You don't have to file your email with us that we put you on a spam list. You want to get messages direct, you have to join the network. You want to have us come to your house, you got to join the network. You have to invite us. We're not kicking in your door. We're not forcing you. We don't do that. We got enough to do without doing that. Ask and you shall receive. You got to ask. You got to seek. And I really tell you, you got to seek because you care about others as much as you care about yourself. So anyway, go to our daily ministration page at preparingyou.com. Preparingyou.com and read it. So far, I haven't got past the first line, which is Acts 6:1. And then I read it in context so you know what we're talking about. But we'll cover the other stuff. Daily ministration was a social welfare of society. That's why they call it daily ministration. Of what? Widows and orphans, needy of your society. It was welfare. How did they provide that? Through the sacrifices of the people. What is the word sacrifice in Hebrew? Korban. But it was free will offering. In your society, it's not. In your society, it's provided by benefactors who exercise authority, which is why you're in bondage. Want to be free? Repent. Turn around. Let's go the other way. Till then, may peace be upon your house, and may God be with you. God bless.
You have been listening to The Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church. For more information on the educational ministry provided by His Holy Church and Brother Gregory, including services, counseling, lectures, books, and other audio materials, please write to His Church at Summer Lake, Box 10, Summer Lake, Oregon, 97640. You can also find us on the web at www.hisholychurch.net.